You're right, but you're right.
Yeah, Al is a, what did you say, a A-plus pickleball player now after one day on the court?
Let's not do that.
A-minus?
Let's not do that.
A-minus?
I was a, I would say for the first time ever playing, a C-plus, which means you have some potential. That's how I would grade myself.
By the way, good.
C-plus?
C-plus makes you the A player on our duo. I stink.
You have more experience. I don't think you... I do
have more experience, but by you've played once and I've played six times.
Okay, but here's the difference. I think because you've never played doubles, that will help your game.
Maybe.
You only got to worry about half the court.
Maybe.
Now.
I do. We need to watch some YouTube. We need to do a film session. We need to go into a dark room with a laser pointer and put it up on the big screen and start to break
not
it all
kidding.
Down.
I'm not joking. I do need to go on YouTube and learn some of the basic things of what to do, when to do it, why you're moving up, why you're staying back. That stuff I don't know.
We're all friends here. This will just stay in the room.
Yep.
I don't have to share this with anybody.
Yep.
I've done that.
Didn't help.
I've looked. It actually is depressing because when you go on YouTube and watch these people play, they're really, really good at it. And it just goes to show you like the level that a beginner is. And I don't, these aren't pros. These are people like playing at the park.
Yeah.
But they're good at it. And I am miles away from that.
So yesterday, there were four courts yesterday. So one of the courts that we were using, you have a court to your left, let's call it. And in between plays, in between points and something like that, you just kind of look over there and there's, people were playing. So I know what you're talking about. There's some real players that were there. They just didn't have to be on our court yesterday.
Well, I need? Like much like we were talking about with college basketball a second ago, when the seedings come out and the brackets and it's like, oh, they got a really good draw and they're going to go through this region and they won't have to play UCLA.
I think we're getting close to that.
We need our brackets.
Yeah, we need our brackets.
I need to see who our matchup is. I need to see because, you know.
I heard Sedano and Cap saying yesterday something along the lines of, maybe it's getting close to coming out, or maybe Tommy will be sending it out, or something like that. Yeah,
because all great athletes, all great teams, Lee, a lot of it has to do with your mental edge, your mental toughness,
sure.
your attitude as you come into a big game. And knowing my opponent will help a great deal.
Maybe they'll be starstruck by you guys if it's not someone.
It's going to be our station.
If we're playing civilians,
yeah.
we're going to get demolished.
Done. Yeah, we're not going to be.
Demolished. Because I don't think non-pickleball playing people were buying a spot in the pickleball tournament
to
goof around.
No,
these
they
are
were
pickleball
not.
People.
Yeah, and I think it's such a unique event because it's not like we've ever done anything like this.
No.
So I think our only shot is, and this is how it should be anyways, we should be playing people from the station and then let those who actually know what they're doing. And whoever comes out from the station is going to end up having to play those
and
real players
anyways. And get demolished later.
Probably get demolished later.
If we get knocked out right away, we can hang around and have a few beers.
Watch the college basketball.
Have a few slices of pizza or whatever the food is out there. Yeah, watch a little basketball along the way. All right, tonight, Crypto, Timberwolves in town. Lakers,
yeah.
No D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, no LeBron James. Do we know, is AD have an official status at this point?
I thought yesterday when they said it, I think it was probable.
Okay.
So there's a good chance he's going to play tonight's game.
Well, he was 100% pain-free, didn't play the last one, so hopefully he plays tonight. Darvin Ham.
Yep.
The Lakers are right on the cusp of being in this thing, mm-hmm. at least from a mathematical perspective.
And it seems like they've been there right on the cusp of the entire season, but yes.
It doesn't seem like it. They have.
Mm-hmm. Right? Actually, they've been probably a few games
right.
behind from it.
They've been outside the line. Put it to you this way. As soon as they had played enough games to be outside the line, they were outside the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never gone back. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
They never got back to 500.
They've never been out of 10th into 10th place. Even for a day,
I
wouldn't bet my house on it, but
you might be right. I think there's a much stronger chance. What I thought you were going to say is, hey, they started out 2-10. They never dug out of the hole, right? No, they have not. I don't think they ever been in that 10 spot.
You don't have to be at 500 to be above the line. Mm-hmm. 31-32 right now is
the Pelicans.
The Pelicans and the Jazz. Mm-hmm. So 9-10 are below 500, mm-hmm. and they're in. The Lakers are 30-33 in 11th place. They're closer than they've been in a while, but they're still not above the line. If the Lakers miss by basically the margin we're looking at now, a game or so, and you kind of go back and rerun the season, because this is the thing, right? Like a basket here, a
yeah.
game there.
Sure.
And it's the difference between being in or out, and it really does feel like this is where it's headed.
Mm-hmm.
You're just barely in or you're just barely out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it's going to land, seemingly. we've talked about the game specifically, the games that were really mismanaged at the end of the game. If that's how it ends, what is the takeaway from Darvin Ham's first season as Lakers head coach?
I would say that I think regardless of whether that plays out or it doesn't, I still think I have the same answer. So let's say they just barely got in and they were the number 10 spot, or they just barely stayed on the outside looking in. I would say that it is clear Darvin Ham is a player's coach. Okay. It is clear that he's got really good relationships with a lot of his players and gives them a lot of autonomy to make to succeed and make mistakes on their own. Where I would look at Darvin Ham and have my biggest question marks, I think it's adjustments during the game that I don't feel like we saw a lot of them. And let me give you a good example. Ja Morant had 28 and a quarter in the third quarter, and I was doing this with Michael in the last game. And I was trying to ask Michael, I'm like, Michael, I didn't see anything different in the third quarter with Ja. He kept doing the same thing, and the Lakers didn't do anything different. That's one frustration, is stopping something that's happening on a consistent basis and not even just trying to give somebody a different look. That in-game adjustment. And I think the biggest one is, because this has happened a few different times in games, 2 minutes left to go. The Lakers are, it's a close game and it's going to come down to a decision that, yeah, I give players a lot of autonomy, that's fine, but there's also a time that your coach steps in and could be the difference of you getting a W or an L. Those final late game situations for me, I had some frustrations with in some of those games. So to answer your question, more of the X's and O's stuff is where the Darvin Ham piece of it frustrated me. More of the I give the players all the autonomy in the world is certainly what his strength is.
I think he gets his guys to play really hard, which in the NBA I think is 80% of the job. Last year, the Lakers did not play hard every night. Last year, when the Lakers fell behind, the game was over, right? They did not compete, especially in the second half of the season.
They went down 20. They were losing by 30.
Right. And I think a lot of that is a reflection on the coach and the relationship the coach has with the players.
Okay.
I give him really high marks in getting guys to go out there and bust their ass every night. I give him the highest marks you can get. I give him the highest marks you can give a coach when it comes to the soft skills, the media, the things like that. Like, Darvin is a very likable guy. He feels like he's kind of an open book, that he's going to tell you what's going on. I respect him as a man in that regard and as a coach in that regard, that he gets his guy. This guy's clearly like him. But I want to use the word that you had about the autonomy that he gives his players at the end of games. That's fine if I'm getting good results.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine if even if I got bad results at the beginning, but the next time it comes up, it's a little better. Next time after that, it's a little better. Like, we're learning, right? We're learning. But if I keep telling my kid he doesn't have to do his homework and he keeps getting D's on his spelling test, I need to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just be like, well, you know, he'll figure it out eventually. It's not, no, you have to do it. This X and O, whatever you want, their end of game execution, whether it's the Ja Morant thing in the third quarter or whether it's the decision to foul or not foul at the end of a 3-point game, that Dallas Mavericks game.
Yep. Didn't foul Luka.
That's a perfect example of that. These are things where it's very rare, in my opinion, where the coach can have a direct impact on the outcome of a game. A decision here or there, you're going to win or lose based on whether you handle those decisions well.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers are kind of chaotic at the end of games. Mm-hmm. They don't seem like they have a great feel for what they want to do in the last 45 seconds, minute of a game of close games. That, I think, is a reflection of the coach having prepared his players properly, or at the very least, in the moment saying, time out. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing. This is the shot we're getting. We're going to foul him. We're not going to, whatever the decision is. They haven't done that very well. And if it comes down to a game or two and they're on the outside, on the inside of it, you can chalk it up to, hey, we got in anyway. Let's see what happens next. We'll be better next year, right? And we'll start to, because he's not a young man, but he's a young head coach. First year.
Yeah, first year as a head coach.
So little grace there. Mm-hmm. Little grace to figure it out as you go. But if you miss it, it's like, look, again, how many seasons with LeBron do you have where he's still mm-hmm. playing at this level? How many seasons is it? Like, to just say, oh, well, we had a learning curve, and it if the learning curve is by six games, then he's not the problem. If the learning curve is by a game or two, you can point to a game or two. It's like, why didn't we make an adjustment here or there? Why didn't we foul here or there? Why didn't we do this, that, or the other thing? That's a really tough pill for me to swallow.
So if they didn't make it, and I would ask you, if let's just say they stayed exactly where they are, they end the season in 11th, and I said, what went wrong this year? Would your first indication to be to say, well, it's because Darvin Ham made some mistakes towards the end of games, mm-hmm. and I think that's the difference, or would you have a different answer?
I'd have a different answer.
Yeah, I would too.
It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if this is a male-female thing, because I too have pairs of pants that start as standing pants, but through the course of a day and certainly by the time you get to the end of the week, they're comfortable sitting pants. Had you worn those pants every day the way that Al and I wear our pants every day, would they have become sitting pants?
They're not really everyday pants, though. That's my issue. They're like they have like black and white. They have like these like figures on it. Like, I can't like roll up to work wearing these necessarily, because they're just a little. They're not like really work pants, so it's hard for me to find situations for me to wear them.
Do you have non-work pants, Lee?
No. Pretty much all the jeans that I got, I'm wearing to.
You got pants.
Pretty much anywhere.
You got pants.
Yeah.
That's not, I only wear those pants when I go out. That's definitely a
man
woman
thing. No, that does not hit the definition of that.
I'm looking over your shoulder. The Dodgers and Angels are playing right now, spring training game, top of the first inning. Tyler Anderson's pitching for the Angels against his old squad with the Dodgers. And that's a really interesting question, because I think we're going to get two answers, right, on a couple of different things. If Tyler Anderson is good for the Angels.
Okay.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks to Tyler Anderson being a pretty good pitcher, that the Dodgers kind of pointed in the right direction and he took it from there. If he's bad, two things happen. The Dodgers obviously can look around like, who else wants to come in here? We can resurrect your career and get you a 3-year deal
somewhere
else.
And go get paid somewhere else.
And go get paid somewhere else. It also confirms that the Angels don't know what they're doing when it comes to finding pitchers. There's a lot riding on Tyler Anderson's success. And if he's just kind of in the middle, mm-hmm. like if he goes, I don't know, 9-8, 8-9, then it's probably a little bit of both, right? Because he was not very good until last year. And then last year, he was excellent.
That's the problem. The problem is he didn't go to a franchise. Like, the Angels are known as a bad franchise. Mm-hmm. So there was no middle ground franchise that he went to. If he went to the Mariners and you're like, okay, hey, interesting. He's in Seattle. They made a playoff run, or they got to the playoffs. Yeah. Can he have some success there? The fact that they went to the Angels, if he has a bad season, do you put it on Tyler Anderson? Do you just give all the credit to the Dodgers, or how much do the Angels have to do with that?
I want to get back to the Lakers here in a second, but looking at the Dodgers, we were talking a little bit during the break, and mm-hmm. Chris Taylor came up, and Freddie Freeman came up, Mookie came up, and Freddie Freeman drew a walk. Freddie Freeman had two home runs yesterday. He just seems to be pretty locked in early in spring training. Play this out for me.
Okay.
And as a Dodger fan, I'm looking at it through Dodger blue lenses, so I want a different perspective. If Mookie Betts, mm-hmm. Freddie Freeman, and Will Smith all perform at the level that they usually do, and Will Smith's is an all-star level performance, mm-hmm. and Mookie and Freddie Freeman's are MVP level performances, right? If you get that from those three, is that enough? Or does Chris Taylor have to bounce back? Does Max Muncy need to bounce back? Does one of the guys, Vargas or Outman, or one of the guys that were tied, does JD Martinez need to pop up and have a big year? Jason Hayward have to all of a sudden be like, wow, they resurrected Jason Hayward. If those three guys are as good as they can be, is that good enough?
So the rule changes in baseball, I think, is going to help everybody. And I think it's going to help all offensive hitters in some capacity. Okay. The problem with the Dodgers is it's not what before used to be Chris Taylor is just gravy. Trace Thompson is just gravy. Whatever you can get from Cody Bellinger, it's just gravy. Justin Turner is not around anymore, right? You lost
Trey Turner too.
You lost Trey Turner from last season as well. I don't think it's enough
for the year.
Gavin Lux. That's right. I mean, just it's almost like the hits keep coming here. But the only reason why I set it up that way is because I think you've had years before where you can look at that Dodgers lineup and you say to yourself, "Where do I have a break? Where do I have a second if I'm a pitcher to just take a deep breath and say, okay, hey, I think I could get out of this inning. Everything will be okay." And right now, the Dodgers, if you're just talking about those three players that they have, Mookie is Mookie, Freddie is Freddie, and Will Smith's having a really good season as well. I don't think that's enough. I think that there's so much, a lot of times, and it's not just baseball, but it's in all of sports, role players got to perform a little bit better. They don't have to be there every single night, right? Like, and I think in the Dodgers case, I'm not telling you Chris Taylor has to be an all-star, but Chris Taylor's got to have a pretty decent season. Max Muncy, maybe they could get away with it because there's so many other bats there. Well, you lost so many of those bats. So now Max Muncy, this is not a, it's not a, it's not a necessity, or I'm sorry, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. I don't think you can get away with just having those three guys have really good seasons.
Yeah, it's interesting because the role players, I think, are far more important in the postseason than they are during the if your big guys perform bigly, if they perform really well,
yep,
I think you can hang around.
Yeah.
Right? Like if Freddie Freeman hits 320 and has 30 home runs and Mookie hits 300 and has 25 home runs and steals base, plays gold glove right field, then they're going to be pretty darn good. They're going to be tough to beat. That's not enough to win a postseason series necessarily. You're going to have all those other guys that you're going along. But oddly, I'm talking, and again, this could just be me getting excited for the beginning of the regular season, which it probably is. I'm curious about this Dodger team much more than I have been in a long time. Because there's a world where they win 97 games.
Yep.
There's a world where they win 87. It could go really bad, and they could win 80, right? That it's unlikely.
And you don't have margin for error,
no.
Right? Like if Freddie can't be out of the lineup for a month or 2 months or something.
I don't want to say it out loud. Yeah. That to him, Mookie or Will Smith, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're if anything happens to those three guys for anything more than a week or two, that's a big problem because they don't have the gravy that you were talking about. Chris Taylor needs to not strike out 180 times this year. Max Muncy can't go 5 months and bat a .150. That can't happen. That will not work out if any of those guys are down there. They don't have to hit .330,
yeah,
but you can't hit .230 either. Mm-hmm. We got to put something together. And is that it? I mean, it's interesting to me. Maybe it's just the baseball fan in me getting excited about what it is.
Listen, we've said this, that if there's one thing last season, the question wasn't, you're going to make the postseason. The question wasn't, are you going to win the NLS? The question really was, how many wins are you going to end up with, and what happens in the postseason? This year, I think there's some interesting storylines. You're right. Listen, if they won 97, it wouldn't be the biggest shock. If they won 87...
That feels like the number. 87, 88, that's about where it feels like. Maybe 90.
Well, that was Philadelphia and the Padres were fighting to get in 86, 87. Yeah. That's where they were last year.
Yeah.
So it just kind of shows
you...
And
they went to the NLCS. And they did. And the Phillies went to the World Series. Mm-hmm. Dodgers won 111 and played four games.
Because
the Angels.
They were playing meaningful games in September, August.
But then what happened the year before that? Dodgers played meaningful games to the end.
Right?
How come that didn't bother the Astros?
Yeah. There is no formula.
The only reason why I set it up that way is because the Dodgers have been in every formula.
Yes, exactly.
And to like the excuse of, well, they didn't play meaningful baseball. I can't give a better example. The Astros. The Astros did everything. The Astros should have been waiting for the Dodgers in the World Series. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the Dodgers. They had the Phillies.
And the year before, the Dodgers, literally down to the last day of the season, were playing meaningful games, and they did beat the Giants. You're right about that. And they did go to the NLCS.
And then the argument was, well, why did you fight for the division?
You burned the rubber off the tire. By the time you got there, not Hershiser, my goodness, how old am I? Clayton Kershiser.
Yep.
Clayton Kershaw.
Nope.
I'm done. You're the rest of the show. I can't even talk anymore.
Clayton Kershiser.
Him.
That's a great name.
Clayton Kershiser. I should have changed
That's
Michael's
not bad.
Name to that. Michael Kershiser Rogers. We're going to do that moving forward. It's a good name. All right. Frame your Laker question again, because you said? If the Lakers miss by a game or two.
Yeah. So let's say they just stayed right here. Mm-hmm. So they ended up in the 11th spot, and they missed the play-in tournament by one game. Okay. That's it. Season ends right there. And I told you, because we were talking about Darvin Ham, what have you thought so far, some of his strengths, some of his weaknesses. And if I told you that, what would be your first, like just your initial response? Lakers did not make the play-in tournament. They have no chance at the playoffs. They were one game behind. Would your first reaction be, well, that's because of Darvin Ham, or would it be something else?
It would be not my first reaction, but it would be one of the reactions. The first reaction would be is that we've got if what you just described.
Yep.
My first reaction would be, uh-oh, our best player is going into year 21, and that 20 was worse than 19, 19 was worse than 18. Like, we're trending as far, not as far as performance, as
about health. Yeah.
And just LeBron James in year 21 is not going to be LeBron James in year 14. It's not.
Yep.
Okay. It means Anthony Davis was unable to ascend to the level that we've all been hoping it happened. Those would be the first two things. But it would also be, hey, listen, they were, even with all of those things, they were close enough. They were only a game or two out of that picture. And with one decision here or two decisions there, they might have been in. The reason I'm not ready to just say, oh, Darvin does, he's new at this. Mm-hmm. And he has far more strengths than he does weaknesses. But end-of-game decisions are not a strength. They're not. We've seen them really, you know, John has come in here a couple of times, like, you know, I don't know what they're doing. He talks about it in the middle of the broadcast. Why aren't they fouling? Why are they sure. giving that guy yep. a three? Like, these are the sorts of things that make you go, can you learn that? I would think so. But we better have a pretty steep learning curve coming into next season and then hope all those other things click into place as well.
So, for me, I think the initial reaction for not making the play-in tournament would be just the roster that they put together again, that the pieces didn't fit right out the gate, and that you had to wait all the way to the trade deadline to put together a roster that you thought, mm-hmm. I think the pieces fit now.
That's part of it,
but
too,
it was too sure. little too late, right? I think the 2-10 start, 2-10 start, and those were not end-of-game predicaments and situations. They just played bad basketball for those first 12 games. And then that you started talking about right there, AD's availability or bronze or whatever the case is, trying to kind of rush this whole thing together at the end, and the pieces weren't there. But I don't really see.
What if that happens, like you're talking about, and then they hit the detonator again and they come back with a totally different team again next year, which could happen.
Yeah, it's not unlikely. I think some of that would depend on the Kyrie situation.
It all depends on that, right? I don't think they'll blow this up unless it's for that.
Yeah.
Right? That really seems to be the only obvious move that where, here we come, this would be the fourth different team in 4 years
sure.
where it's just a totally different squad. And by the way, I'm okay with that. I'd be interested in it depending on the terms, but I don't feel like the blow up would come unless it's with Kyrie.
You mentioned something, and I think that's interesting. That I almost kind of treat making the play-in tournament and losing versus not making the play-in tournament doesn't really change that much for me.
Yeah,
it's did you get in the playoffs or did you not? That's really the challenge for them.
Okay, they get into the playoffs and they play Denver and they lose
in six games,
five or six games.
Okay, five games.
Okay,
I would feel better.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Maybe because I've lowered my expectations.
Yeah, that's
But I would feel better. You'd finally get at least a little bit of a playoff opportunity.
I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel it. Like, for instance, for me, and this is a ridiculous metric to have. Did you win it all? No, bad season. That's a ridiculous metric. Except for that's the metric that the Lakers live by.
But you know what? I don't live by that. And I don't live by that. I'll tell you why. Because I think if you're the Dodgers right now, you live by that.
Okay.
Even though they have not been cashing them in, but they're good enough to where that's a real conversation.
Would LeBron James think a first round exit was a good season?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, he wouldn't.
And that's what I'm getting. Like, it just would Anthony Davis be like, hey, we made the playoffs? It would be like, no, man, come on. No, that's not what the Lakers are about. If you're the Kings, no matter what happens to them in the playoffs, Kings have had a great season. Mm-hmm. They've had a great season. Mm-hmm. They're comfortably over 500. They got a cool little bit with Light the Beam.
100%.
They got good players. They got a coach that works really well. And even if they go into the first round as a three and the sixth seed sweeps them, it's not a bad year for the Kings. It's disappointing that it ended like that. It's a good season.
But
the Lakers don't have those metrics.
They don't have those metrics, but can you build off of, hey, they got an interesting group of players here.
You're talking about the Lakers or the Kings?
I'm talking about the Lakers.
Okay.
They got an interesting group of players here. They obviously had to play pretty good basketball the rest of the way just to get in and then get into the playoffs. Yeah. Can you build off of that?
Well, that's funny because that's your way of looking. My ex is you had Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and you were out in the first. Like, that's the other way to look at it. It's like, yeah. Here we go again, and you did jack squat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, hey, we're
I
better.
Get it.
You got an F on the last test. You got a D on this one. That's progress. And I'm looking at it, dude, you got a D. Like, I mean, they're both right.
Mm-hmm.
They're both, you did get a little better, but you still are in summer school. You still have to get up at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Unfortunately, this is kind of who they are right now, yeah, where the expectations are this.
That's unfortunate.
That's realistic.
You sticking around for a minute, Yates?
Yeah, man. We played pickleball yesterday, so we have updates.
Oh, we know.
Well, you did, with your A group of people while the other guys were.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, a little shade coming off these mics, boys.
Not today.
I actually had some questions, some things I might learn from somebody who's played more than I have, Travis.
He's a six-time pickleball player.
Maybe five.
Okay.
It's less than 10, more than five.
More than a handful. Less than a baker's dozen. Right.
That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. The big CY in the house with us for this segment. And before we get to that, I want to read a quick, you'll appreciate this, Yates.
Yep.
805 Raider just tweeted at me and said, dude, did you just have a stroke on air with Kershiser?
Merge the two pitchers.
I mean, you know,
really, really good pitcher, whoever
these days,
that is.
With all this AI going around now, you know, you could probably figure out how to make a picture of that.
Oral Kershiser, Clayton Kershiser.
That sounds so weird.
It came out all. Look, both good, both Dodgers, but very different.
Very
stylistically.
True. I'm good. I played pickleball yesterday. A fact that apparently created some consternation
a little bit
amongst some of the shows.
You know what the problem was. You know what the issue was.
I said yes to one plan.
That was the issue.
And then broke the plan. However,
yeah.
The reason why I broke the plan was because the other plan was sending me to Pasadena. I live on the west side.
Geography was vital.
And so as it turns out, there's a court up the road in Santa Monica that, again, minor miracle, Mace went out of his way to invite me to and tell me this might be more convenient for you. I'd like for you to come play with me. I said, you know what? I get a reach out like that from Mace. I'm taking it, okay? That's definitely happening, and I really appreciate him for bringing it up.
In other words, you were Plan Beastly.
Yeah.
No!
So it wasn't geography.
No, it was geography.
Geography or no?
Yeah, you contradicted yourself a little bit.
I didn't contradict myself, but I realized afterwards, I was like, oh, A, this is more convenient, and B, it's Mace. C, definitely doing it. So here's what happened. So we go to the court, and I'm glad he invited me for this reason. The first time
can
we
I ask
did this,
one question?
You just did, but what is it?
One more question.
Yes.
Packed?
Okay, this is what we're getting to.
Okay.
The first time we did this little practice situation, it was me, Lara, Sedano, and Beto. Private court, one court situation, fences right there. The other courts are in the distance behind us. There is no intermingling.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Were you at a private club or something?
Yes.
Okay.
I pull up to this court. Bro, there's 150 people out there. If you break down how they do it at regular parks, it's four pickleball courts to a tennis court. There were
four tennis courts?
Yes.
Oh, they turned them sideways.
Yes,
oh,
and there were four tennis courts.
Yeah.
I pulled up. I was like, whoa. And I thought to myself, I'm actually glad I came here because the only other time I've done this, we've been the only people there. And so there was an element of not people watching you, but like doing it in a big space because, yes, Lee, it was packed. And I imagine
Pasadena was
that's what it's gonna be like. But I saw where you guys were playing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you guys had dedicated pickleball courts with reasonable distance. The distance of the pickleball courts when you've just got two people on each side of the net, bro, you're running into each other all day. There's all sorts of signals from what you say when a ball comes onto the court. I had to learn a lot about the general maneuverability around the entire facility that I think is going to be an element.
I want to go back to the logistics of this whole thing. Okay, I want you to be equidistant from Slee's group to Mason's group. You're right in the middle. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess this one.
You've said yes to Slee's group.
I did say yes to Slee's
group. The Mason call comes in. You are equidistant from both groups. Where are you going?
I don't know. Probably.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Here's the thing.
Just say it.
Probably to Mace, and here's why. Here's why. You guys already had three people. Mace was going dolo.
It's like having three bicycle tires.
And as you guys know, I come from the camp counselor school of participation. I want everybody to have fun and not get hurt. I don't want Mace going solo up there running around in Santa Monica not knowing what he's doing. But that's not your issue.
The issue could be, look,
Mace would love to play.
I already have a commitment here.
Thank you, Alan.
Commitment. You see what I'm doing right now?
Alan, can I tell you something?
This is called the Magic Johnson.
Thank you for being a human being.
I'm not going to beat it.
Thank you for being a human being who respects his word and lives up to it.
Geography part I have no problem with. But the more you put this towards, hey, it's 6 miles away either way, right. He still went over there.
That's not what happened. And
the geography is fair.
You guys had, LA is, you guys had three people
yeah, but
without
three
me.
Is but not
three is
number.
Not a good number.
Why? Because you're scared to talk to people? Three is a very magic number.
No, it's because it takes four.
Yes, there's not people at your pickleball court. The reason I say
there was
this is because
there was a lot of people.
We were holding folks up sound with our crappy play.
Sound pretty defensive, yeah.
No, it was. Well, here's the thing. here's why I'm on edge about it. Something happened at the court that I did not predict, I still don't have an answer for, and it's kind of rattling me. I can't figure out the scorekeeping method to save my life.
You think I got it?
Yes, you can.
They were trying to explain it to me mid-game, and I was like, bro, don't talk. This coach guy was there. I said, I don't want to think about this. I'm too focused on hitting the ball. The rotations are bizarre. I don't really understand how the numbers work. It was throwing me off to the point that I had to say something.
I know for a fact that you can keep scoring in a scorebook in a baseball game. Yeah,
yeah, that's easy. I've been doing it my whole life.
That's what I mean. This is just a language.
Just a couple more times.
I understand that.
I could explain it to you in 30 seconds and you will understand.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's going to be as easy as you think because it was so it sounded so foreign to me that I was like,
It's super foreign and I will teach you.
Give me a quick synopsis.
I will do it without giving you any of the rules at all. The next time you play, you keep score. You have to be the one to figure it out and you'll figure it out in like three
points. That might be the case, but yesterday.
Here's what it is.
I was like, don't give this responsibility to me. I don't like it.
Every player gets two serves.
Right.
Okay, you know, like in ping pong, you do fives?
Yeah.
Right? It's twos.
Okay.
Start right there. So we're on twos.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have to be serving to score a point.
No rallies points. I know that.
Okay. We got these two rules. The score has three numbers. My points, your points, and which serve we're on.
So the three-number score call-out is probably where the most of my confusion
I agree.
Came
so
That is awfully complicated.
The three scores are the serving player score, the receiving player score, and the serve that we're on. So, in other words, the game is...
We're on the first serve or the second serve.
The game is just starting.
So, the third number can only be one or two.
Can only be one or two.
Only be one or two.
The previous numbers are the score.
And something that you haven't faced yet, what makes it a little bit easier when you're playing twos, it's either his serve or my serve.
Yes.
He serve first, I serve second, I'm the two.
See, that is where things got hairy, and I got a little confused, because I basically came down to, after every point, I looked at the ref and said, whose ball?
One more wrinkle.
Every single one.
One more wrinkle.
Oh, because this isn't already complicated enough.
Well, that's pretty good. You guys had refs?
He was reffing.
Oh, you feel better about this already, I can tell. One more little thing. If I'm serving and I score, I'm still on one.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I mean,
this is already considered complicated enough for me to delegate it to somebody else.
Okay, you scored.
Yeah.
You switch sides. You're serving the other way now, correct?
Yeah, like tennis. You go the ad court, the ad in, ad out court. Yeah.
But the other guy, does he stay put and you just go back? Because I was just watching some pickleball on YouTube. The other guy wasn't moving. It was just the server going back.
Right, the server. Now, he's the one to not be in the way.
Here's my question for you, seasoned pickleball veteran.
I have played like six times.
Well, what I'm going to say is, why is the scoring so complicated? Like on a basic level.
I didn't invent the sport, Yates.
I mean, I thought you might have some insight. Like, because that's the kind of game where instantly, if I'm playing with my friends, we're scoring it totally differently. Like, we're just playing however the hell we want. Because that's way too goofy. And I'm like, how many people showing up?
Yeah.
Right. How many people showing up know the strict pickleball, whatever. It's like playing by real.
So getting past the scoring, getting past all that stuff.
That didn't happen.
But just saying, conceptually, pretty fun sport.
Oh,
I thought it was fun.
Most fun. And I can explain this to people who are listening. The most fun I've had doing anything physical that I hadn't done before in a long time. Here's the reason why. It's got the movement of like ping pong from a physical level, but it doesn't require the quick skill, and you can hit the ball hard like in tennis, and you're probably
and
not going to send it all
in.
Over
yeah.
the place.
Still
like it
get,
it's low impact, but also high frequency without being too much on either
side.
You
guys play twos the whole time?
Not the whole time. We hit a little bit with the ones. There was a guy there, his name was Calvin, tremendous instructor type who was organizing things around, had a lot to say and a lot to teach, so I was grateful about that. But then we played twos, and so what happened was this. Mason and I were playing against one another. Two other people came, a couple. The couple, the guy was smart. He saw what was happening. He said, let's split up. So his girlfriend, who was way better than he was, like D1 tennis player,
let's split this thing. Yeah.
She played with Mace. She was serving it. I couldn't get it back over. She was, I mean, top spin bangers, nailing the zone. Like, it was a problem. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I guess if I face anybody that good, we're just going to get eliminated. And then we played, and the guy was trying to explain the points and stuff, and I was very confused, but it was fun.
Without me giving you a specific team, you play another ESPN LA team.
Yeah.
In the first round, if this is how it breaks out. Do you feel confident about going into it?
No.
Playing, I mean, like, because everybody here is kind of on the same level.
Yeah, but we're all on the same. Like, but, so the way you play won't be that much different than Berg, Jorge, myself.
Here's why. I have a real issue with not knowing rules and spacing. And so the other reason I was glad I played at this court is because it wasn't a regular court. The lines were all over the place. Oh, so you just kind of had to gauge. And I was like,
no, that's
I can't
not good.
Really figure out my footwork.
It's like a high school gym where there's volleyball, there's basketball, there's badminton.
That's
there's
exactly what it was like. And I was like, I don't want to be too precise about this, but I was like, I don't really know where I'm running. Mm. I'm just hitting the ball. I'm in the kitchen. The coach is yelling at me all over the place. And I was just like, okay, well, I guess I learned something here today. But the scoring, complex, kiddos.
By the time March 18th rolls around, Yates is going to know how to keep score. The lines are going to be nice and clear. Let's, you need to come out and hang out.
He's a professional.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Agape Pickleball Center at Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley. Get your reserved seat. You can do that at ESPNLA.com. The event, of course, is open to anybody that wants to come. Come on out. Hang out with us. Press the flesh. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light, Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. And not only will we be playing pickleball, which will clearly be the main event, but there's TVs to watch the, you know, that college basketball tournament thing. There's Papa Shot. There's demos. There's lessons. There's a kid zone. You can bring the kiddos out. Beer garden, complimentary food and drink, a DJ, entertainment. You name it, we got it out there. Come on out with us again. Agape Pickleball Center in Fountain Valley at Mile Square Park. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.